Chapter 12. Box Hill. It was now the middle of June, and the weather was sunny and hot. Mrs. Elton was making plans for a picnic on Box Hill. Box Hill was the most beautiful place in the neighbourhood. Mrs. Elton and her friends were going to drive there in their carriages. They would take food and drink with them. Mrs. Elton started to make all the arrangements. Emma had never been to Box Hill, and she wanted to go there, but she did not want to go with Mrs. Elton. Mrs. Elton went on with her plans for the picnic, and then one of the horses went lame. The visit to Box Hill could not take place that day.
"What shall we do, Knightley?" Mrs. Elton cried. "The weather is good now, but it may not be so good in a few days. And without the horses, we can go nowhere today."
"You can come to Donwell Abbey," Mr. Knightley said. "You will not need horses and carriages. You can walk from the village to my house. My strawberries are very fine this year. Come to Donwell Abbey and eat them." Mrs. Elton was delighted.
"What a good idea, Knightley," she said. "All our friends will be there, of course. I shall arrange everything for you. I arrange parties very well."
"You may arrange parties in your own house, Mrs. Elton, but not in mine," Mr. Knightley said. "If I ever marry, my wife will make all the arrangements. Until then, I shall arrange things at Donwell Abbey myself."
"Well, you are a strange man," Mrs. Elton said with a laugh. "But I expect that my ideas will be the same as yours. Everything will be very easy, of course. We can all walk about, eat the strawberries, and sit together for a picnic under the trees."
"I am sorry, but my ideas are different from yours, Mrs. Elton," Mr. Knightley said. "Eat strawberries in the garden if you wish, but my servants will prepare food and we will eat it inside, in the dining room. I want everyone to be cool and comfortable when they visit Donwell Abbey." Mr. Knightley was thinking of Mr. Woodhouse. He wanted the old man to enjoy a day at Donwell Abbey with his friends. If Mr. Woodhouse had to sit outside on the grass and eat a meal, he would be upset. However, he would enjoy a meal while he sat in his good friend's dining room. Everyone accepted Mr. Knightley's invitation to enjoy his delicious strawberries at Donwell Abbey. If the weather was fine on the following day, other horses could be found, and everyone would drive to Box Hill. Emma had not been to Donwell Abbey for a long time. First, she found a comfortable chair for her father in the library. Mr. Knightley had put some interesting books and pictures on a table there. He knew that Mr. Woodhouse would enjoy sitting quietly and looking at them. Then Emma went outside. She walked around the beautiful gardens and looked at the fine old house. Everyone ate strawberries and praised the delicious fruit. But the sun was very hot, and soon everyone went to sit in the cool shade under some trees. They were all happy except for Mrs. Weston. Frank had not arrived, and she was worried about him. He was going to ride his horse to Donwell Abbey. She was worried that his horse had gone lame. Mrs. Elton was talking so loudly to Jane Fairfax that Emma could hear every word.
"It is time for you to make a decision, Miss Fairfax," Mrs. Elton was saying. "It is now the middle of June. You cannot wait any longer. All the best positions for governesses will soon be taken. You must write a letter to my friend, Mrs. Smallridge, tomorrow."
Jane did not answer. She stood up and spoke to Mr. Knightley.
"Would you like to take your guests around the Abbey Gardens?" she asked with a smile. "Everything is looking so beautiful."
Mr. Knightley was happy to do this, and he led the way. His guests followed him and admired the gardens full of beautiful summer flowers. It was now extremely hot. Most people soon went to sit in the cool shade under the trees once again. Beyond the trees, green fields went down to Abbey Mill Farm. A river ran from the hills and down past the farm. It was a beautiful view. Emma was surprised to see that Mr. Knightley was walking with Harriet. He was having a pleasant conversation with her. Very soon, it was time for everyone to go into the house and eat the delicious cold food that was ready for them. After the meal, Emma stayed in the house to talk to her father, and the rest of the party went out into the gardens again. The heat of the day made Mr. Woodhouse tired, and he fell asleep in his chair. Emma walked into the hall. She looked out of the tall windows at the fine gardens. Suddenly, she saw Jane Fairfax hurrying back into the house. The young woman looked hot and tired.
"Oh, Miss Woodhouse," Jane said, "I was looking for you. I am going home at once. I cannot find my aunt anywhere. Please, will you tell her that I have gone, if you see her?"
"Of course I will," Emma said. "But surely you are not going to walk back to Highbury alone. Let me ask Mr. Knightley if you can use his carriage."
"Thank you, Miss Woodhouse. Thank you very much. But I do not need a carriage. I walk fast. It will only take me 20 minutes, Jane replied.
"But it is hot, and you look tired," Emma said kindly.
"I am tired, but only in my mind," Jane replied. "I want to walk, and I need to be alone."
And she hurried away. Emma returned to the library, but her father was still asleep. About 15 minutes later, Frank Churchill came into the room. He looked hot and angry.
"I could not come before," Frank said to Emma. "Mrs. Churchill is ill again. I shall have to go back to Richmond almost at once. I only came here because I made a promise. Where is everyone? I suppose that I am too late. People will be going home soon. I met one of the guests as I came to the house, Miss Fairfax," Frank added. "Why was she walking home now? It is madness to walk in this heat."
Emma saw that Frank was not as cheerful as usual. The heat had made him bad-tempered. At first, the young man refused to eat or drink, but after a time he went to find some cold beer. When he returned some time later, he was no longer bad-tempered, but he did not look happy.
"I hope that you found something to eat and drink," Emma said with a smile.
"Yes, thank you, Miss Woodhouse," Frank replied. "I am cooler now and feel much better, but I am not happy. I am not happy at all. My life has become very difficult. I am tired of doing nothing in Richmond. I can never be happy in England. I am sure of that. I think that I shall go overseas for a couple of years."
"But you are happier now than when you first arrived at Donwell Abbey," Emma said, smiling. "We are all going to Box Hill tomorrow. It is a beautiful place. You must come with us, Mr. Churchill. Your father and Mrs. Weston have arranged everything."
At first, Frank refused, but then he said,
"Well, if you wish me to stay in Highbury and go with you to Box Hill tomorrow, Miss Woodhouse, I will."
Next day the weather was fine, and everyone got ready for the visit to Box Hill. Mr. and Mrs. Weston had made all the arrangements, and everything was well planned. Everyone except Mrs. Weston made the 7-mile journey to Box Hill in their carriages. Mrs. Weston was expecting a child, and on this day she felt tired. she agreed to stay at Hartfield with Mr. Woodhouse. The countryside around them was beautiful, but no one seemed happy. The weather was very hot, and the visitors were soon tired. They did not want to walk very far. Mr. and Mrs. Elton walked away by themselves. They did not talk to anyone. Things were a little better when everyone sat down on the grass to eat the picnic. Mr. Weston had brought lots of delicious cold food and drink for everyone. Frank Churchill sat next to Emma and began to pay her a lot of attention. His conversation was lively and interesting. Emma laughed at his words, but she did not really feel happy. Emma was not sure if Frank was happy or not.
"You are the only one who is talking, Mr. Churchill,"
Emma said at last.
"Everyone else is silent. Why is that? What is everyone thinking about?"
Frank suddenly stood up.
"Why is everyone so quiet?" he said loudly. "We have all come here to enjoy ourselves, but no one looks happy. Why not?" "Ladies and gentlemen, you heard Miss Woodhouse. She wants to know what each of you are thinking."
Some people laughed, but the Eltons looked angry.
"Mr. Churchill is not telling the truth," Emma said with a laugh. "I do not want to know what everyone is thinking. I cannot ask that."
"Well, then, I have a better idea," Frank said. "There are 8 of us here. This is what you must do. It is Miss Woodhouse's wish. Everyone must say one very clever thing, or 2 things that are quite clever, or 3 things that are very dull."
"Oh, that will be easy for me," Miss Bates said happily. 3 dull things. Yes, I shall be able to think of 3 dull things very easily."
"Only 3 things, Miss Bates? That might be a problem," Emma said.
"You will find it difficult to say only 3 dull things at one time, I am sure."
At first, Miss Bates did not understand Emma's words. Then she blushed.
"I am not clever like my friend Miss Woodhouse," she said. "I talk too much, and I do not think enough. I am sorry. I shall try to be quiet."
There was silence, and then Mrs. Elton spoke.
"Miss Woodhouse, you will excuse Mr. Elton and myself. We have nothing clever to say to you. We have nothing to say to you at all."
The Eltons both stood up and began to walk away.
"They are a very good match,"
Frank Churchill said to Emma.
"The Eltons knew each other for only a few weeks before they were married. Many men make mistakes when they choose their wives. Mr. Elton was lucky. He chose a very suitable wife for himself."
"Excuse me," Jane Fairfax said quietly. "People may know each other for a long time, but they still make mistakes about each other. They choose the wrong friends. It may be difficult to end a foolish friendship," she went on, "but only very weak people cannot end a friendship that is foolish. It can be done, I know."
"Then I must be a weak person,"
Frank replied.
"I would like someone to choose my wife for me. Would you do that, Miss Woodhouse? I am in no hurry, but my wife must be lively. She must have a beautiful complexion and have hazel eyes. She must be as charming as yourself. I shall return for her in 2 years.
Emma smiled. Frank could be talking about Harriet, she thought.
Except that he wants a wife with hazel eyes.
Jane's pale face had become red, and she looked upset.
"Let us go for a walk, Mum,"
Jane said to her aunt. Miss Bates and Jane Fairfax walked away, and Mr. Knightley followed them.
Frank Churchill went on talking and making jokes until even Emma was tired of him. She was very pleased when the servants said that the carriages were ready to leave. Soon, everyone began to walk slowly towards their own carriage. The visit to Box Hill had not been pleasant for anyone. Everyone was glad to go home. Mr. Knightley walked up to Emma and spoke to her quietly.
"Emma, you have behaved very badly," he said. "You have been very rude to Miss Bates, and you were rude to her in front of all her friends. I could not believe that you made those remarks."
Emma blushed, and she tried to laugh.
"My remarks were not so very bad," she said. "I do not think that Miss Bates understood me."
"Yes, she did understand you. Miss Bates understood you very well. But she did not make a remark about your bad behaviour herself. She is too kind."
"Oh, Miss Bates is a good woman,"
Emma said.
"Everyone knows that. But she is silly too. You must agree."
"Perhaps she is silly," Mr. Knightley replied. "Miss Bates is also old and very poor. She needs kindness from you, Emma, not rudeness. You are an important person in Highbury, and you should have behaved better. I am ashamed of you." Mr. Knightley helped Emma into her carriage. He did not say another word. Emma was very unhappy, and she could not speak. She looked up once and held out her hand, but Mr. Knightley had turned away and the carriage moved on. Emma cried all the way home.